This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
A 1,000 gas stations out of gas in the southeast because of the cybersecurity breach to Colonial Pipeline. Will it get worse? Experts are hoping it won't. But those who need gas are a little panicked and are lining up to get it despite what the experts are telling them to do. It could affect flights, maybe some cancellations. There is that possibility. And longer flights, they may have to stop and refuel. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. Hope you're well, safe, and are feeling good about what's happening, at least in the United States. And you got your fingers crossed and are sending great thoughts to others around the world as they struggle with COVID-19, especially for the people in India, a very populous nation suffering mightily with shortages of oxygen and beds and simply just being ravaged by this horrible, horrible virus. And speaking of the virus, in the United States, the numbers are down. And that is the really, really good news. We're seeing some of the lowest numbers that we've seen since September, 38,000 cases. And normally it was a lot higher than that per day. That's good. So newly daily reported cases, a lot less. And then there still is the conversation about vaccine hesitancy and those that have gotten vaccinated. And what about the kids, 2012 to 15, and whether or not they're going to get vaccinated. So the number is this, according to Johns Hopkins University. 153.4 million have been vaccinated. That's 57.4% of the eligible population, 16 and older, and 46.2% of the total population. So that's, again, total population. How about that? But I think one of the biggest stories, because it really makes you think about cybersecurity and it makes you think about what happens if we get hacks in other areas when it comes to gasoline supplies and when it comes to jet fuel. So there were some panic drivers that overwhelmed gas stations in the southeast on Tuesday because they were fearing shortages in the aftermath of this ransomware attack that forced the nation's largest fuel pipeline offline. In Atlanta, check this out, one of every five gas stations out of fuel Tuesday night. That's pretty crazy. Some people drove from town to town trying to find service stations where they didn't see long lines that they could hopefully get the gas before they ran out. So sounds familiar. We've heard tales of this in the past, right? In Washington, the Energy Secretary, Jennifer Granholm, said the Southeast can expect what she's calling a crunch that's going to take a couple of days to alleviate. Colonial Pipeline is saying that they expect a full restart could come perhaps as soon as Wednesday evening, but they're not guaranteeing that. That pipeline system affects 45% of the East Coast fuel. It shut down Friday after hackers, thought to be based in the former Soviet Union, infiltrated servers and encrypted its data, demanding a huge fee to restore access. You know, American organizations, corporations, etc., have lost $350 million this year as a result of ransomware attacks. Trust me, they're only getting bigger, and their targets are getting bigger, and this is probably their biggest one. Governors in North Carolina, Georgia, and Virginia declared states of emergency and had to take steps to relax fuel transport rules to ease the pain of the pump. And how bad is it? 7% of gas stations in Virginia hit. 8% in North Carolina affected. 5% in Georgia were without fuel by Tuesday afternoon. Florida, Alabama, South Carolina, they're getting some dry pumps too. Not good. Demand for fuel in those states spiked 40% on Monday. So what is it? It's panic buying. We've seen this with other things. But you tell someone, don't worry about it, and guess what? Then you worry about it. Then you're sitting there and you're saying, should we fill up? Yeah, I think we should fill up. Why are we waiting? Guess what? Every station around the house is out of gas. So there you go. And gas stations are saying, these that are running out of gas, we don't have any. We can't do it. They're bagging the pumps. You know how they do that? Can you pull up and it's like, oh, so sorry. We don't have any more. And this is all because of a ransomware attack. So, so scary. And in some places where people pulled up and they would ask, well, geez, how soon will you have gas again? Oh, could be 5 days, because remember, then they have to get it delivered to them. So the Colonial Pipeline carries fuel from Gulf Coast refineries to customers on the East Coast. We've talked about that before. And they provide fuel for about 50 million Americans, and this is the key, several major airports, like Atlanta. That's our biggest airport. It has the most traffic, and especially now because people are starting to travel again. I mean, ransomware attacks, we forget, it has been a global scourge. It has been a global scourge. And that is why, coming up on Thursday, I'm really excited for you to hear what Matteo Gorges has to say. He's got a company called VigiTrust that operates out of the United States, and they have headquarters in the United States and in Ireland, too. And he and I have a lively conversation about what's going on with cyber attacks and why companies are not paying enough attention to what's happening. And this is exactly the reason why. To infiltrate your infrastructure that way and then demand ransom demands, it's crazy. 64% of infrastructure organizations surveyed saw a spike in cyber attacks in 2020. 57% of IT managers felt the attacks had become too sophisticated for them to fend off effectively on their own. The dark side knew this. That's the criminal ransomware group based in Eastern Europe that was behind, according to the FBI, this cyber attack. Look how easily, boom, they make us vulnerable. That is scary. And you know what scares me? Think about this power grid. Think about the power grid infrastructure. You think that would be a target? Think that could be a target? Yeah. Okay, so I'm not the person that panics. I'm not the person that's the town crier. But I will say this. If you're paying attention to what's happening, for goodness sake, on your own computers, be smart. Make sure you have some safety mechanisms in place. Because, yes, sometimes the little guy also will pay the price. Something else that's huge that's happened is a federal judge has denied the NRA attempt to declare bankruptcy. And why is this significant? It's because of what's happening with the New York Attorney General. The gun rights group had filed the case in an attempt to fend off a lawsuit by New York's Attorney General, because they would be very vulnerable to that. So whatever happens with Lydia James's far-reaching civil suit against the group, talking about fraud and self-dealing and all of that, could end up really crippling the NRA. Stay with us.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us.
That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
GraveSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A 1 pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Well, bothered and confused, because lately you've been starting to losing out on everything you might try to do. Bad luck, bad has got to hold on you. Spend money, about to lose your home. Done lost your woman and everything you own.
All right, coming up, we've got the mic drop. And it has to do with a very, 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 I'm going to say it like five times, unusual fish with teeth as sharp as glass and a body shaped like a football. We're going to go there in a second. Oh, if I was walking along the beach and I saw that fish, ooh, that would, it would freak me out. But I would take pictures, of course, and I would call the appropriate people and handle it. I would handle it somehow. All right, this is also mixed in with some odds and ends, and here's one. So with all this push for the vaccine and vaccine hesitancy and incentives to get people to get vaccinated, like, hey, here's some professional baseball tickets to see your favorite team if you line up for a shot. And then there's gift cards, and there's some companies that are giving extra days off, but they're being really careful about that because nobody is demanding that you have a shot or show a card, or, you know, that's sort of uncharted territory at this point. But McDonald's has gone all in on this. The fast food giant announced that it's going to promote the White House and the Department of Health and Human Services, We Can Do This campaign on its Times Square billboard later this month and on McCafe coffee cups and delivery orders at all U.S. restaurants starting in July. So, because they revamped the whole McCafe, you know, their coffee's pretty good. And they've got these stickers that they're going to direct people to go to vaccines.gov to find out how they can find vaccine appointments, and protect themselves from COVID, which, boy, they waded right into the pool there, because I keep saying this, there is definitely a lot of people who are vaccine hesitant, and I wonder if, you know, you see a sticker on a McDonald's bag, or you see that We Can Do This campaign, does that sway you? I mean, what would sway you? If you're against getting the vaccine for you, your family, whatever, where you're a solo flyer and it's just you, I mean, is that going to make you say, oh, I just got this McCafe coffee, and geez, look what that's on the side. That reminds me, maybe I should check this out. I mean, bravo for them for taking a stand, even if it's controversial, or maybe it's not as controversial as I think when it comes to coffee cups, etc. But I'm just wondering, does that direct enough people? Now, the baseball tickets, it might. The $50 gift certificates, I don't know. It might push some people over, and I think it has done that. What the government, I think, is banking on is what happens with the children 12 to 15, because if enough of the kids were vaccinated with the Pfizer vaccine, they would probably push us, probably, I don't even know that for sure, because we're not there, anywhere near there yet, but could probably push us into the territory of herd immunity, that so-called herd immunity that we were supposedly trying to reach. I mean, there's still lots of unknowns about COVID-19. There is a collective, I think, sigh of relief that's being breathed around the United States anyway, because of the numbers of cases going down. And because of the fact that some of the rules are relaxed and people are feeling comfortable, like they're okay and, you know, they're covered off, but you still have to be careful. I have a friend who lives in a house with several different people. They have different floors. And I found out that last month they all got COVID. There were six of them. And they were different ages, from young 20s all the way up to 40s. And they all got they all tested positive for COVID, and they think that one of the younger people who they were out and they were playing in a band and they were in bars a lot, that they might have brought it in. They don't know that for sure, but they might have been patient zero, so to speak. So just when you think it's okay, you know, where is your line? And we're talking about that in our mailbag too, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Where is your line? What will you absolutely not do, and what do you feel comfortable doing at this point? What are you comfortable with? That's the key. It's about you. It's about you taking your responsibility for what you feel is the right thing to do, right? What is the right thing to do for you? All right. I want to talk about this fish. So this fish showed up at Crystal Cove State Park. You know where that is? It's in Laguna Beach. It washed ashore apparently last Friday, and it's supposedly the most likely, it's most likely the Pacific, they call it Pacific football fish. And they don't know how it could have ended up on the shore. It's one of more than 200 species of anglerfish worldwide. It's normally found in the dark, dark, dark depths of the ocean. The teeth are super sharp and pointy, like shards of glass. They have a huge, large mouth. They can suck up and swallow prey the size of their own body. I mean, and it's a big body. They have a protruding stalk on the top of their head, a long stalk with tips that they use to lure, to entice prey in the darkness of the water. Like, we're talking about pretty deep, 3,000 feet deep. And the females, I guess, can grow to lengths of about 24 inches. Males only grow to be about an inch long. Do you love that? So the female, 24 inches. The male, oh, about an inch long. The sole purpose of the male fish is to help a female reproduce. Males latch onto the female with their teeth, and then that's what happens. And eventually, nothing is left of the form of the male except for their reproductive organs. The body of the fish is being held by the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. They're going to study it for research and educational purposes because it's so rare. It's a fascinating, crazy-looking fish, and to have that wash up and be this deep-sea creature, it shows you that you never know what the ocean is going to spit out. And I think that's pretty cool, so that's why it's my mic drop moment. Oh, if you could see the teeth. Whatever your Google machine is, whatever you use for search, just put in this monstrous-looking fish that washed up on a California beach, and you will see it. It is so strange-looking. I mean, and it's true. You know, it is their environment, and you don't know what you're going to see when you're in waters that are deep. You don't know what you're going to see every time you go into the ocean. That's what I think. And that's why coming up at the tail end of this hour, it's fascinating. We're going to have a conversation with Barry King. He's written a book called Relative Heroes. And what's so interesting about him is he dove at this place where there was these, you think of World War II and the Germans sinking in this one area, Scapa Flow, sinking a bunch of boats, ships, etc. And that's a interesting place to dive, although now apparently it's a little more dangerous because some of those ships are coming apart. But he went advanced nitrox, which means he could dive deeper. So he was a scuba diver, and he liked it. He got interested in it, and then he became an instructor, and then he liked it so much he wanted to go deeper, so he had to also be certified that way. And, he wanted to go down as far as he could go. And even he wouldn't go down as far, meaning where this football fish, this Pacific football fish is, he wouldn't have even been down that far. 3,000 feet. I mean, that is deep, deep water. Deep, 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 deep water. I can't imagine. You know, I learned how to scuba dive, and I wasn't anywhere near that, and I certainly didn't get certified in anything advanced. I was like, whoa, I saw the kelp beds and a couple of sharks that were big enough for me to say, you know what, I've been there, done it, it's really fun, but I kind of like staying closer to the surface. So I'm kind of the snuba snorkeler type versus it was fun, and it was interesting fun, it was a blast doing the scuba thing, but I saw too many sharks to make me feel comfortable to keep going deeper and deeper. But Barry is a risk taker, and his book is interesting too, so we'll talk to him at the end of the hour.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The CDC says that the U.S. has seen a consistent downward trend in COVID cases over the last few months. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky said during a Senate hearing on Tuesday that average daily cases and deaths have fallen by more than 70% since January. On Monday, the average new cases per day fell below 40,000 for the first time since September. Dr. Amesh Adalja says cases will become more rare as more people become fully vaccinated. The infectious disease expert with Johns Hopkins University tells CBS News that the U.S. is seeing the same trends experienced by highly vaccinated countries.
When you look at countries that are highly vaccinated, like Israel, when they crossed about 40% of their population fully vaccinated, they basically saw cases plummet, and the cases have not come back up, even in the face of more worrisome variants. So I do think as we close in on 40%, I think we're around 33% or so, we will likely see this trajectory continue.
This is USA Radio News. Violence continues to escalate in Israel as Hamas militants fired rockets at Tel Aviv from Gaza Tuesday, with Israeli Defense Forces responding with airstrikes. At least 30 people have been killed in the exchanges. Former U.S. Ambassador to Israel Martin Indyk believes tensions will continue to escalate. He tells CNBC that Israel will do what it feels it needs to in order to get Hamas to stop firing rockets at Israeli cities.
The Israelis are seeking now to try to reestablish the deterrence that they had that lasted for about 6 years and prevented these rocket attacks, for the most part, from landing on Israeli cities. And they won't be content to call this off until they've inflicted enough pain on Hamas to get them to stop that rocket fire. Hamas, on the other hand, is going to respond by attacking Israeli cities indiscriminately with these rockets to try to show that they will not be deterred by Israel and to champion the Palestinian cause.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
How pleased I am to be joined by Abinta Clark. She grew up in Trinidad and Tobago, and she wrote, she's written this book that is a game changer. It could be such a big game changer for so many people that have gone through some pretty dark times, and it's called Changing Light. Her story is so fascinating and so inspiring, I have to say. And I am thrilled that we had a brief conversation off the air, and I'm excited to introduce her to all of you who are listening and beyond. Abinta, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you for introducing me to America audiences, and I hope they like what we have to talk about.
Well, let's talk about your childhood. We're going to talk about the fact that you went into social work and the road that led you there. But what was your childhood like growing up at what I call TNT?
I would say it was pretty isolated. You know, I grew up just with my parents and my siblings. I'm from a family of over 18. I'm my mother. She's over 18 children. My mother has been in a domestic situation for over 38 years, and the only time she was able to escape was when my father went to prison. I've lost three of my siblings to murder. My father went to prison for 5 years. I lived in an orphanage where I found one of my brothers for a couple of years. And when my siblings was rescued from the situation that they were in, I went to a juvenile detention center with my other brother. And so I lived in a juvenile detention center for about 4 years, before I transitioned into living in a hostel. And then I became homeless for 2 years. And when I almost lost my life, I found myself on the doorstep of the YMCA of Trinidad, where I met a wonderful man called Gregory Sloan Seal, who helped me transition my life.
So
that's just a snapshot of my life.
Yeah. So you go from you go from homeless to on the doorstep of the YMCA and having dealt with multiple tragedies. How did he change your life? How did that experience change you?
So at YMCA, I started volunteering in what they call a youth outreach program, and that program worked with kids who were street children who lived on the street like myself, as well as kids who were either on extended suspension out of school or from orphanages as well. And then being able to work with these students, even though I was still living in the street at the beginning of working at that program, it helped me sort of heal myself. And it sort of helped me find what I was passionate about, which is helping people. And so I became a volunteer for a couple of months. And then I started working as a youth worker before I became the program coordinator. And Gregory helps a lot of people. And so one day he said, you know, you have a lot of power, than more than you imagine. And so I ended up living with his mom for 14 years. So I came off of the street and started living with his mother and working at the YMCA. And after working at the YMCA, I started working with the Ministry of National Security. They had a Inter-American Development pilot project for working in high-risk communities. And so Gregory was also the program coordinator as well. So we've transitioned from YMCA into working for the government. And I think I would say, like, just being able to see and help people really helped me heal myself. When all of the pain, because I was able to tell people what I went through as well in the communities where I work in, the boys who I worked with, and show them that you could do anything. And I think I really made a really good bond with the people I work with, because it wasn't just about somebody who was coming from a bureaucratic position. It was somebody who would have experienced pain and violence just like them and trying to help them change the environment in which they lived.
So then you go to Australia. Tell us what that was like. How do you end up in Australia?
I think when I was younger, I saw a documentary with a man and a kangaroo fighting. And my father said, Australia is the land of kangaroos. And I said, okay, I'll go there one day. And so I just applied for schools in different countries, got into different schools, and then I put them in a hat and I picked one in Australia and I came here. So I've been living in Australia for 5 years because I came here in 2016. I studied in Australia at Notre Dame, finished a degree in communication and media studies, and now the sky's the limit. You know, anything is possible. And Australia has been a very interesting journey as well, because I've had time to just do me outside of the social work and the constant, you know, community type programs and dealing with issues. I've just been able to settle down and focus on myself and sort of internalize the things I've been through and survived.
So then you released Changing Light and your poetry. And this is something you said to me that was so personal, that you had this for a while and you decided to release it. So tell us what inspires you or what it's about and why you decided to release it to the world.
So Changing Light is a collection of poems that I've had for more than 16 years. While I was working at the YMCA, I've written a lot of this work, and a lot of it is about the things I've experienced personally, as well as what I've seen in my communities that I've worked in, as well as what I've experienced with the young people that I've worked with. I held on to Changing Light for a long time because I didn't feel like it was good enough to share it with the world. And I blamed myself for a lot of things that I personally experienced. And just before I did my last year of university, I taught why hold on to something like this? It's just time to let it go, to release it, to like unburden myself of all the things that I kept a secret. You know, I never really talked about my life a lot, internalize it in the way that I have in these poems. Like, I write poetry because I can express myself and I can bury the things that I feel and think in the poems. I think it's important for me to share this with the world, because a lot of it is about experiencing violence and being able to survive and crossing over from the dark side into the light and just changing your life and knowing that the people who inflict pain on you, the greatest victory is just demonstrating that you have survived. And not just survived, you're living, breathing, long air in your lungs, and you're experiencing the life that you want to. Because sometimes violence really holds you down. The scars that you have, it's lifetime, they never go away. The bad dreams that you have, you experience them night after night. But if you wake up and you're able to say, I'm alive, and enjoy just that, that's a victory in itself.
Wow, so beautiful, so well said. I asked you if you would pick out one of your special poems and immediately said, page 22. So, which, by the way, you can get a Binta Clark's book, Changing Light, on Amazon. Get it, pass it around. There's so many people that could use that, I think, vibe of what it's like to go from dark to light and to experience her words. So if you would, tell us which one you chose, and let's hear it.
So the poem that I would have chose is called A Child's Picture, and it's about children who experience or seen their mother go through domestic violence and help her sort of heal with the scars that she is. A child's picture. Looking back with a child's portrait, I stalk the sunlight between fracturing gaps of blowing leaves. I hope for my mother to end her lamenting, for the heavy-handed machine blows to decline from scarring her features. I desire her state to be vivid and for her smile to crawl from under domestic hardship. I watch her bent back, washing clothes on a scrubbing board as the timber struck her head. With warm water, her tiny offsprings clean the earth and small pebbles from her gushing gash. They held her head and forehead together in rapt chorus. As she slept, they cleared the blood splats from a stained floor. In bleach, the blood is still fresh and pours red onto the plum tree.
Wow. Wow. That says it all. I mean, I'm thinking of your childhood. I'm thinking of your mom. I'm thinking of the things that you told us. What do you hope people take away from reading your poetry, reading Changing Light?
I hope people take away from it that you can survive. You can change other people's life, and you have more power than you imagine as a human being. And if more people tell their stories, it can help other people who are in violent situations find strength and rise up. Because more people rise up against violence, it will help reduce it.
Wow, perfect place to end this. Binta Clark, thank you for sharing your story, for lifting us up, and I know people will rise up as a result of what you've done and your poetry and Changing Light. So thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they share with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $50 on our popular 4-week emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly, right to your door. So order today and save $50 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
All right, I've talked about this before, what a terrible diver I am and how I saw a shark, panicked, and got caught up in a kelp bed. I did not give up, though. I want you to know that. And I have enjoyed diving in my life. Well, I found somebody who enjoyed it so much, he went to what they call advanced nitrox, and he's written a book we're going to talk about that is so exciting. It will have you on the edge of your seat, and you won't be able to put it down. So forget streaming television or anything else that's going on. You'll get lost in this book, and I love, love, love these kinds of stories. As you all know, I'm passionate about stories that you get lost in and take you to another place. And the book is called Relative Heroes, and Barry J. King joins us now, and he is that diver that was crazy enough to go advanced nitrox. So, Barry, thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on, Kate. It's a pleasure to meet you.
So before we get into your book, because I think this plays a part in what led you to this book, is your thirst for adventure. Tell the listeners a little bit about your background.
My background, should I start at school?
Yeah, forget school. Let's go to the Olympics. You were almost in the Olympics.
Well, yes, I was coached for the 68 Olympics as a gymnast. Never made that, unfortunately, but kept pushing. I've always been in bands. I've been a singer and a drummer all my life. I played in bands through the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s. Toured with the Commitments. That was entertaining. But during those periods, I Funny enough, I went on a holiday, and on that holiday in England, a chap came in from a diving club and took us into the swimming pool. And my son and I tried it, and we liked it, and he took us into the bay, and we enjoyed that. So I went and joined my local scuba diving club, and it went off from there. So, and I just, you know, I got so fascinated and so hooked into diving that I just went on and on and on and went as far as I possibly could.
Yeah, and I said it now a couple of times. I mentioned the word advanced nitrox. You had to explain it to me. But it was so you could dive deeper. And you were telling me off the air, and I know everybody out there will be fascinated by this, that you had one of the interesting places you dove was a place called Scapa Flow. Tell me about Scapa Flow Islands.
Scapa Flow, yes. It's an inlet water off the coast of the Orkney Islands, a place called Stromness. And what it was, in the First World War, there were 72 battleships and cruisers that were captured by the British Navy and put into this bay. And what they'd done, the British sunk block ships on the entrances so that they couldn't get in and capture the ships back. So what on all of the 72 battleships and cruisers, they left a skeleton crew, which would be a German officer, on all of the ships. Without the British knowing, The German fleet managed to get a link to each ship, and on the word go, they all pulled the plug on the ships, and all 72 battleships and cruisers sunk to the seabed. Well, that's there. They're obviously still there. So a lot of them are broken up, and you can't go anywhere near them, but a lot of them you still can. And that was my interest to go and see that. And I'd done that 4 or 5 years running, just to see as much as I possibly could on this sunken treasure, if you
like. Wow. Scapa Flow. So write that down. Put that on your list, people. So let's talk about this is part of the road to the book, I think. So Relative Heroes. Give us a little synopsis about the story.
Well, it's a two-part book. The first part is in around 1815, and there's a family that are gemstone cutters. They're called stone cutters for the royal family, and they travel down to Africa and trade with local people around Africa on what they would be calling trinkets, not really knowing the value of these stones, and would bring the stones back. While they were down there, Bjorn is the son of the owner of the company, a dashing, handsome man. One of the ladies was, this is a taboo subject on slave trading, but they didn't do so much the slave trading, but the lady went with them on the boat and they fell in love. So he and Abnil, which is the lady's name, they fell in love and got married. So there's a love interest there, which is brilliant. I enjoyed writing that bit. That was really good. And there was an accident, unfortunately, and the treasure was lost because there was a lot of treasure found that was taken onto the ship. And then the second half of the book brings it right up to date, where it's an up to date state-of-the-art search vessel, and the crew are going out. They found out about this because of the relatives. There was a relative involved in the first episode in 1815, and a relative has found this through his search. So has now discovered that there's real treasure out there lost. So they've gone to look for it. Basically, that sort of sums it all up in very short synopsis.
We didn't want to tell too many details because it is very intriguing. There's lots of twists in this. You know, your wife chimed in when we talked off the air, and she said there was a lot of research that went into this, and that it's a book that anyone can read because you've got a little bit of everything in it. You have love in it, you've got greed in it, you've got that thirst for chasing after something. Was it really fun to write?
It was. It was a bit of a challenge, but the beauty of it was the research that we done. I went to Greenwich. We have Greenwich in London, the Maritime Museum and the library, and I joined that, and I found out all about the vessels of the 18th century and 17th century vessels, about how they were built and who would, you know, captain one of these things and the crew. And that was very interesting. I enjoyed that part of it.
Wow, I bet.
And obviously the second part comes in because as a diver myself, and what I tried to do was to not make it complicated. So if you don't understand anything about diving or master of a ship, you would easily understand the way I've described it. You wouldn't have to go, oh, what did he mean by that? So that was hard to do, but that was good as well.
What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
Oh, hopefully they'd enjoy it. Perhaps they might want to take up diving. I don't know. I took an offshore yacht master, which is a day skipper. It's how to drive and pilot motor vessels with navigation and everything else. And that was very interesting as well. So they might want to move into that.
That's nice. So you open up a different, I think you said it, you hope they enjoy it because it is a story, it is a novel, and it also makes you think about what are some of the other things, I think it does make you think, what are some of the other things that are happening in the water that I'm not aware of? So somebody who's dove before could read it, but you don't have to be a diver. You could just be, you know, anyone from any walk of life. I think that's the key thing. It's about the story.
Yeah. And of course you have that element of respecting the sea. The sea is, you know, people assume that, oh, we can just go swimming in the sea, but there's dangerous currents and there's all sorts of things. So it's actually respecting it. It's the search for adventure, to enjoy yourself, but you must respect the environment you're in. If you see what, you know, yeah, the sea can be very, very dangerous.
Yep, I so agree with that. Barry J. King, again, you can get his book on Amazon, Relative Heroes. Thanks so much for coming on.
I've enjoyed it very much. Thank you for having me.
Wow, so great to talk to Barry. It brought back those memories of diving for me, where I was nothing like he was. And listening to him and the adventures that he went on, we had a great conversation off the air, too. But his book is fascinating and a really good read. I mean, that's what we're looking for, right? I was thinking today, when I look at books, especially novels, when I look at historical novels, which I really like, when there's history that's wrapped into a really riveting, good story, that's one of my preferred, you know, my preferred genres. And I just came back from, you know, having a little bit of downtime where I could focus on a book, focus on a story and not get pulled away from it. And I really have to say that he has that kind of book that pulls you in absolutely without a doubt. All right, the music is coming up and that means the maestro is going to tell me I have to get off the stage, but I want to thank everybody for listening to this interview and this version of the show. Seriously, make it count, people. This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.